This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 160, and we are recording on Monday, August 21st. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Kendra. How are you doing on this Mondayest of Mondays?
I am doing okay. It is extremely hot here. It's supposed to be the hottest week of the summer, and the poor corgis today. We went out normally at 2 is their like break time when we go get the mail, and they just melted when we got home. Like they just like looked at one of those paintings where the clock faces are melting or everything. Like they were just not in for it. And so we say they get the summer chonkies, which is when it's too hot for them to exercise a lot. So we go out at night. Like I was out at 12:30 a.m. last night playing fetch with these corgis, but it's never as long as it needs to be. So anyway, so they are just like draping themselves over the furniture. And that's really all we've done today. I've listened to audiobooks and a few different things, but my stars, I'm so excited for fall. I bought carrots to make carrot soup. I'm so excited, but it's going to be 100 degrees this week.
Yeah, I think Thursday is supposed to be our hottest day, and where the town where I live, we're farther west from Lake Michigan. Like in Illinois, if you live in the Chicagoland area, or even, you know, if you live along Lake Michigan, you know the phrase cooler by the lake. And so, and that generally means there's like a 5 to 10 degree temperature difference if you are like right, if you're within like a mile or two of Lake Michigan. We're farther, so we don't get cooler by the lake, and it's supposed to be a high of 101 without the heat index. Like that's the high temperature for Thursday. And I'm like, we're no strangers to really hot weather in Chicago, but good grief.
Yeah.
It's not the first time this has happened by any stretch of the imagination, but it honestly has not been that hot this summer. It's been pretty moderate, like 80s. So I'm already like planning out. I'm like, okay, like it's like my coworkers are like, does anyone want to bring in popsicles? It's like we're just kind of like planning how the heck we're going to get through this. But then by Saturday, it's going to be like in the low 70s. So like in 48 hours, it's going to drop 30 degrees. So that's a sign that my allergies are about to go into a tailspin or get one of those barometric pressure headaches or something like that. So we'll see. But yeah, I appreciate warmer weather more than I used to because I'm starting to hate cold weather more than I used to. So while I really do appreciate summer, yeah, I'm like, okay, let's dial it back a little bit. This is getting just a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like watching, you know, my husband's cousins get drowned out by the rain in LA.
Yeah.
Yesterday and today was also interesting. So, you know, I know you and I both talk about the weather, but the weather is getting more and more exciting.
That's one word for it.
To put it mildly. So, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, thousands of years from now, we'll find this archived audio and they'll be like, oh, what was the weather like? Oh, these people, they keep talking about it.
It dictates our every move. And yeah, I have my sister-in-law and her husband were in the Grand Canyon this last weekend, and they stayed an extra day before driving back to LA because of the weather. So I think everything was fine. I don't think they lost power, but they were supposed to drive home, I think, yesterday. And they're like, we're going to wait an extra day. I'm like, that's probably a good idea.
My stars.
Yeah, if any of you listeners are in Southern California and that area of the West Coast, I hope everyone made it out okay, because yeah, apparently there was an earthquake along with the hurricane, or like the hurricane caused an earthquake or something like that. Stuff is nuts.
Yeah, it was. I saw this thing on TikTok where they had like the Hercules segment where the three people were talking about like, what was the fire before or after the earthquake? And, and then they're like, no, but it was at, it was before, but then it was after the flood or something like that.
And oh my gosh.
It was amazing. So go look it up, dear listeners, if you want some dark humor in your life. But I love LA people's like fascination with rain. It just, my spouse is from the Bay Area, so we got a little bit more rain than LA. But it's so funny when we were first married and he would just watch rain. Like it was this foreign, it's like this foreign idea. So anyway, but hope everyone is okay. Deep breath, put your books on tables or anything.
Oh
God. Yeah. So that's our exciting intro.
Oh boy. Yeah, let's try to get through this week without any natural disasters or anything like that.
We will make an effort. We will endeavor.
Yes. Well, I was just with everything just going on in general, my attention span has not been focused on the things that it should be focused on. So I haven't been doing a ton of reading these last couple of weeks. Are you in the same boat?
I am currently reading for something else, and also Women in Translation Month, that aren't mysteries and thrillers, but the book I am currently reading is the one I'm going to talk about today that I've almost finished. I got so close to the end, so I don't know the final reveal of, you know, the whodunit, but...
We wouldn't tell that anyway, so...
Obviously, yes. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Well, before we jump in, I think you've got a quick plug for TBR.
Yes, yes, I do. So TBR is a wonderful book recommendation service from Book Riot. And so it is really lovely. So the whole process is that you go to TBR, or you can give this as a gift as well. So your, you know, giftee would go to TBR. You fill out your reader profile and you like say, talk about your dislikes. Talk about like, you don't want any books where the dog dies or anything like that you don't want in the book. You talk about the books you've loved, the books you've hated, and they take your profile. They give someone who specializes in the books that you are looking to receive, and you can receive recommendations only, and that is international, or you can receive the books sent to you, and that is in the US only. And I really love this. I've given this as a gift so many times because oftentimes the people I love like different books than I read. So I want them to get books that they love. So I've done that. And I really love the service. I used to be a bibliologist, who are the book choosers. And so I really love doing this. It was a lot of fun to pick out all the books. And so yeah, I really love like finding someone. I got a lot of the Appalachian or Southern folks wanting more Southern or Appalachian literature, and that was a lot of fun. So we have a link in the show notes for you to go check it out.
I can only imagine you're just like, oh my goodness.
I mean, it's really funny when I get all the Appalachian ones because people who aren't familiar, they really struggle to say Appalachia without laughing. And once you notice it, you can't like unhear it. And so I would get messages like, oh, this is your next person or whatever. And I could tell the person was kind of confused sometimes. Like, okay. But they were like, this is, you know, this person loves it. We are going to give them the person that knows their stuff. And so that was really great. So I feel like Book Riot does a great job of pairing their bibliologists with people. In summary, it's a lot of fun.
So make sure to check it out.
Yes, at mytbr.co. And of course, it'll be linked in the show notes.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick pause for our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publisher of the smash hit Fourth Wing. You'll only cross these blades once in a page-turning new tale of revenge, strategy, and so many lies. Best-selling Red Tower Books is releasing its next irresistible read that will capture your imagination and keep you guessing until the end. Mae Corlin's Five Broken Blades tells an intricate high-stakes tale of five total strangers united in a plot that will test their strength, wits, and courage. Each has their reasons, all have secrets. But while it's easy to portray a stranger, it's not so simple to stab a friend or a lover, okay, in the back. Now these five blades must choose between vengeance and one another. Pick up Five Broken Blades by Mae Corlin for a thrilling, adventurous tale filled with risk, romance, adventure, and oh, so many lies. The relationships in it are complex and nuanced and involve everything from friends to enemies, found and biological family and lovers and more. Thanks again to Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publishers of the smash hit Fourth Wing, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Steve Aoki's HeroQuest at your local bookstore or online at HeroQuest.com, and catch Steve live on the Heavenly Hell Tour. HeroQuest is a graphic novel that is the story of a genetically augmented metahuman named Hero who travels into the multiverse 400 years into the future to save Earth from a disaster it cannot avoid. It has everything from mutants to robots to zombies to aliens, witches, and more. It's a quest for 10 rings of tremendous power from 10 different worlds that will be needed to save our world from certain disaster. It's an epic journey that will require the hero named Hero to be cursed to save the lives of billions on Earth. It's a story of heroism, wonder, betrayal, and finally, revelation. This is the hero's journey. This is Hero's quest. So the story was imagined by the mind of Steve Aoki and written by New York Times bestselling author Jim Kruger and Steve Aoki. So make sure to check it out. And this episode comes thanks again to Steve Aoki's HeroQuest at your local bookstore or online at HeroQuest.com, and catch Steve live on the Heavenly Hell Tour.
All right. So if you are new to the show, welcome. I promise we don't only talk about the weather on these shows. If you are a longtime listener, welcome back. You probably have a very detailed idea of the weather that goes on in Chicago and South Carolina. So anyway, what the show is supposed to be about, which like we mentioned at the top of the show, is to talk about mysteries and thrillers and suspense and true crime and just about everything that falls under that ginormous umbrella. That can be anything from exploring all of the different subgenres that are part of the mystery and suspense larger genres. We could be talking about author read-alikes, movie adaptations, true crime news, award lists. I mean, the list goes on and on. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that this is the point in the episode where we always put out a call to our lovely listeners to let us know if you have any ideas for future episodes, because we really do use these ideas to help us plan and decide what we want to talk about next. It's a great way for us to know what you, the listeners, would like to hear more of. It's a great way for us to expand our own reading horizons. It's been a really great setup. We've been doing this for years now. So we just keep it rolling. So if you have any ideas, you can shoot us an email or reach out to us via social media. We're going to have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes. We just put the call out at the beginning of the episode to get the creative juices flowing while you listen. So shoot us a line if you have an idea, and even if you don't have an idea but you just want to say hi, that is also fantastic. We love hearing from people so much. It makes us happy. And on a similar note, if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, definitely leave us a review over at Apple Podcasts so that other people can find us. And I believe it's been, unless I've missed something huge, I feel like it's been pretty quiet in terms of news. Like, we haven't had any big awards come out. There haven't been any major book announcements in the last couple of weeks. So I think let's just go ahead and jump right into this episode, which I know when we were talking about what do we want to do next, and we were like, let's pick something easy. We're just, you know, struggling just a little bit. Let's pick something easy for us to do. And so we decided to go with books that have been published this year that we have meant to get to already, but haven't yet. So an opportunity for us to hit pause and play catch up on our TBRs. So how much trouble did you have trying to narrow down your choices?
Well, I kind of went with series that I wanted to catch up on. And with these two mystery series, you can start really anywhere in the series and just like catch up pretty quickly. So that's what I went with. And because they were the ones I genuinely was most excited to read. So that's where I landed.
Yeah. And I have to say that the books that you picked were also on my list. So this is a very unintentionally Katie-centric episode. Yeah, well, as usual, I have not read either of the books that you have picked, but I am very excited to hear about both of them. Do you want to kick us off?
My first pick is Exiles by Jane Harper. I read every book that Jane Harper has put out, and this is a return to the Aaron Folk series. And so the last two books that she has done, One of them I think is her best book, and one of them I did not like at all. So I feel like I was really nervous about this one because I really loved Aaron Falk, the series. And so this one is Exile. So this returns to him, and he is visiting his friends for this carnival situation. Who knows? Anyway, so there's this event. Now, he is there to see his friends. And so in that friend group that his friends have, a woman goes missing and leaves her baby like with her husband, and she just disappears. And they don't know where she is. And so they can't find her. So the novel is actually set a year after Kim, the woman who disappeared. It's been a year since she's gone. And it really looks at this family's grief. So Kim and her ex-partner split, and they have an older teenage daughter together. So Kim has remarried, so her baby is with her new husband. So it's really like this extended family of this group. And then you have like the ex-partner's brother is good friends with Aaron, and that's kind of how all of this evolved. So for me, this book was about relationships, and I tend to like that in mysteries. This was very much about Aaron, his life, and what he was going to do because, you know, as Jane Harper has said in interviews, which I will link one in the show notes with an Australian podcast since this is an Australian novel, is that this is the last book with Aaron, you know, as the main character. So she wanted to send him off into the sunset with a great last novel. And I think she really did that. I did not figure out who it was until fairly late in the book. So I feel like that's successful for me, in my book, at least.
Yeah, I remember when she first announced that this book was coming out and that this was going to be the end of the Aaron Falk series. And I was like, why? in that tone. I mean, considering I'm not a series reader, I've really loved all of Jane Harper's books. The only one I haven't read is The Survivors. It's her second most recent one before this, I think. But I've read the other three, and I was really excited for this one. And considering how long-running series can be, it was just shocked that it was just basically just going to be a trilogy. Like, I was really expecting, like, maybe not, like, you know, maybe not a series the length of, like, you know, Louise Penny or, like, Janet Ivanovich or something like that. But yeah, I was thinking it was going to be more than three books, so I was quite surprised.
Yeah, I was interesting to hear her on that podcast talk about that she really wanted to avoid where the character's narrative thread is just too overextended. She wanted it to end it, you know, on a good note. And so I think that, you know, I think we can respect that. And I think as a mystery, like a creative, like I've heard a lot of people who have a lot of like extended mystery novels about the same character, they often feel like put in a box. And mm-hmm. I think when she's talked about her books, she, you know, she's already in the mystery box. So I think within that, she wanted to have more creativity. And with The Dry, which is not an Aaron Falk series, I think that's her best novel. And she did a great job. So I'm really excited where she's going with her books. And yeah, and her audiobooks are always great too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I really like this one. And it was so moving. I didn't expect to be moved by this mystery the way I did, the way that the family relations are portrayed. I think oftentimes we imagine a family as just like the mom, the dad, and the kids. But when you have, you know, a divorce or a couple of divorces and then remarriages, so you have this very extended, you know, family, that's really more of what reality is a lot of times. So I really appreciate that representation. So that is Exiles by Jane Harper. Please go check it out. Yeah, that's my first pick. What's your first pick, Katie?
Well, probably not surprising anyone. It's not summer without Riley Sager. So I have, I picked up Riley Sager's most recent book, The Only One Left. And this one, as I've mentioned so many times, I've read all of his books. And even though they are all standalone novels, thematically, they work well as a series because each one takes on a particular horror or psychological suspense trope and then takes that trope and just turns it into like its own story. Like his first of the bunch was Final Girls, which was published like 6 years ago and was amazing. And he has taken on classic, like, haunted house stories, like the Amityville Horror. There was one of the books that had a very Rosemary's Baby feel, like it's in an old, like, brownstone apartment in old New York City. And he does such a fantastic job of just capturing the mood of these different tropes or these different themes, common storylines, and just turning it into something, you know, just really entertaining. So, like I said before, this is a gothic thriller, gothic horror novel that also is very strongly influenced by the real life Lizzie Borden true crime event, the Borden murders. Except in this book, the supposed killer's name is Lenora Hope. And there's a little rhyme throughout the book. At 17, Lenora Hope hung her sister with a rope, like the Lizzie Borden rhyme. So in 1929, Lenora Hope was found, her parents were both stabbed, her sister hung herself, and they believed that Lenora committed these murders. And like the Lizzie Borden murders, she was never found guilty. There just wasn't enough evidence to say that she did it. So she was never put in jail, and she ended up living out the rest of her years in the family estate, which is called Hope's End, which I'm like, eh, fitting. And so that all happened in 1929. And then the rest of the book takes place in 1983. And the main character is Kit McDear. She is a professional caretaker, and her assignment has been to care for Lenora, who in her old age is in a wheelchair. She is unable to speak. She is mostly paralyzed. So she requires constant care around the clock. And then one day shortly after Kit gets there, she realizes that Lenora can use a typewriter to communicate. And she tells Kit, "I want to tell you everything." And so Kit is helping Lenora, you know, use the typewriter to tell her story. And as, you know, as she tells her more and more, Kit realizes that there's, not surprisingly, there's a whole lot more going on here than she realized. So that is where I will stop the plot description. Now, I think with this book, and with the last couple of Riley Sager's books, like, they are over the top, but in a really fun way, like in a soap opera-ish kind of way, where you're just like, you know what, you just run with it, because it's entertaining. It's just such, every book of his is just a fast-paced thrill ride. Like, I read this book in 2 hours. Well, maybe not 2 hours, one sitting. I read it in one sitting. May have been longer than 2 hours. But it was just so much fun. And with his books, there are always twists. It's not like, oh, just one twist. Oh, no. There are so many twists. And just when you think you've got it figured out, oh, no, wait, something else happens. So there were some parts of the story that I guessed at, or that I kind of figured out fairly early on, or at least I had a bunch of theories and a few of them were correct. Let's just put it that way. But there were also a couple things towards the end I was like, well, didn't see that one coming. And I really love his books. Even though I go in, it's like watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie. You know, you go in knowing there's going to be a twist, so you're like waiting for it. But you just really enjoy it. Like, you know exactly what he's going to do, and you just love every second of it. Yeah, so I'm pleased to say that I have not yet fallen terribly behind in keeping up with Riley Sager. I am up to date. I've read all of his books. I own all of them but one. I'm like, all right, I'm on a roll here. But yeah, it was just a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see what his next theme is going to be next summer, because you know he's putting out another one.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. So if you had to pick one to start with, which one would you choose?
Final Girls.
Okay.
That one, when I picked up that book, I started reading it, like, I was supposed to be getting ready for bed for work in like 10, 15 minutes. Within two pages, I'm like, I've made an enormous mistake, because I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to put this book down. I mean, I ultimately did, but then I just read it in just a flurry of pages, like over the next day or so. And that That book was, it was a thriller that you could almost, like, as you were reading it, you felt like it should be, like, blowing your hair back. Everything is just moving so fast. It just nailed the atmosphere and the, because it's based on the final girl trope of slasher movies. It just captured the feel of a classic 80s slasher movie in all the best ways. It was just amazing. And that's a book that I still am introducing people to at the library who have never read any of his books. And I have turned so many people into fans of his that they're like, oh my gosh, it was great. And I'm like, and he's got like 7 other books. It's a fantastic. And the other, after Final Girl is probably my second favorite, I believe it is Home After Dark, which is the one that has a very Amityville horror feel to it. And that one, or Home Before Dark, I think is what it's called. And that one, I really enjoyed that one. I love haunted house stories. And that one had a couple of twists that totally I was not expecting. So yeah, if you haven't jumped on the Riley Sager train, come join us. It's fantastic.
I might do that. I might do that. I just found some audiobooks on one of my apps and I might jump there next.
Yes. My friend was listening to Final Girls while she was training for a marathon. She was listening to this book while she was running at night.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay.
That's a choice.
I don't recommend that because the story is about a group of teenagers that were attacked in a cabin in the middle of the woods. And my friend was she lives in a very small wooded area of Connecticut. I'm like, why are you listening to this while you are running in the dark? Like, good grief. Maybe don't do that. But yes, highly entertaining. And yes, so his latest one is The Only One Left by Riley Sager.
All right. So my next pick is, I think everyone can guess this if they know me. That is The Mistress of Batia House by Sujata Massey. And this is the return of Pervine Mystery. Now, I have adored Pervine Mystery since her first book. I eventually was able to interview her for Reading Women. And I just, she's so wonderful. And one of the things I love about Pervine Mystery is that she is, you know, she's the first solicitor. It's 1920s Bombay. She's the first female solicitor. She's not officially recognized by any bar because she's not allowed to practice law like in that way. But under the British system, you know, you have barristers and solicitors. Those are two different things. So she can do like the background, like contract work, but she can't appear in court. She can't be a barrister. It's complicated. Anyway, so she's there practicing law, and all of the books center around an issue around women and their rights as women. And this book, the topic is really bodily autonomy and how young women are often forced into motherhood as children. You know, they're married off at 12. And so Pervine Mystery meets a woman doctor. And that really, I think, strikes the theme for this book. Pervine's sister, her sister-in-law, I should say, has just had a baby, and they all live in like this separated duplex. So they have some common areas, but they're like separate houses that are connected. I think maybe like a townhouse situation, maybe sort of like that. Anyway, so the mystery of this is actually where Pervine is going to give a donation to this hospital run by the lady doctor and supposed to focus on women's health. Well, during this like very high-end, posh, like charity event, a little boy starts screaming, and it's actually the boy, I think he's supposed to like inherit Batia House or something. And he is on fire. And so this servant, she's of a lower class, at least she's Hindu, and she jumps on this boy, saves his life, but she experiences severe burning. And a few days later, Pervine sees the same servant woman, young woman, chained in this prison like setup at the courthouse. And she's like, what? Apparently, some random person decided to accuse her of committing an abortion, a self-imposed abortion, and she's being taken to court for this. And that's really the start. It's like, why did this kid light on fire? Like, why did then she be accused of inducing an abortion through this tea that she drank? And then older servant lady, she's not taken in because she gave her the tea. It's a whole like series of different laws around women's bodies. And I think it's obvious why this is the topic of Sujata Massey's next book.
Yeah, I'm listening to this going, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is feeling very, very relevant.
What's really interesting is that Massey goes and looks like what were the norms, and she actually goes and looks at court cases from the time. And so she has, like, oftentimes I can tell, like, you know, Sujata has done all of this study, and you can hear Praveen saying these words about how, like, it was weird that this servant girl was taken in when normally the person who's prosecuted is the one who gave her the tea or administered the abortion. And usually the woman who experienced it has died. And so that's why this person's being persecuted, like prosecuted. There we go. Different words. I'm so sorry. So I think it's really fascinating. I love all of these details. I love how Massey has this ability to bring you in the story. I will say this is very much a Praveen and her family book. Then this is light on the mystery. I feel like the first book was very much about Praveen and light on the mystery, but the last two ones have been very mystery focused. I feel like she's returned to focusing on Praveen and Praveen's family and family life. And so it is a bit different, but I am still very much enjoying this book. I love the way that Massey creates her world, and it's all engrossing. And I can't stop talking about her books. I always feel like that's a good sign, right?
Yeah, and I feel like that's one of the requirements for being a co-host of Red or Dead is you have to be a huge fan of the Praveen Mystery series. Because every person who has co-hosted this show, even like Liberty as the guest host, like everyone loves these books. I love these books. And the only reason why I didn't choose this one is because I haven't read The Bombay Prince yet. And I wanted to read these in order. So I'm like, oh, if I pick this one, then I'm actually picking two books I have to read. And I don't know if I can get that done right away. But yeah, I love these books so much. They're so thoughtful and so, so well written. And I just love Praveen Mystery's character. I've said it so many times. And yeah, I mean, even though they are set in 1920s Bombay, they are very, very relevant, even in modern times, unfortunately. So, yeah.
I found it really interesting that, like, her relationship to her niece, her brother's child, you know, she sees her every day. They share common space. And her room is right actually next to the nursery. So there's only like a wall in between them. And I found that really interesting because of Praveen's situation. And I'm not going to say what it is because that's a spoiler for the first book. But like I felt as someone who will, as an adult woman who will never have biological children, like I really felt for her in that way of like feeling like, oh, I'm in my 20s, or now I guess now for me, I'm in my 30s. Her case was 20s, and I don't know how to work, like, care for a baby. Like, is there something wrong with me? I really appreciate that. That was very real to life. So, yeah, I feel like her character's so well drawn. I'm going to quit gushing about it, but please go check out The Mistress of Body House by Sujata Massey. It's also from an indie press, so Yes. Support indie presses.
All right. Before I jump into my second pick, let's go ahead and take a quick break for our second sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Forever and Kennedy Ryan's heart-searing sensual This Could Be Us. When the life Soledad Barnes built with the man who was supposed to be her forever goes poof in a cloud of betrayal and disillusion, there is no time to pout or sulk or even grieve the life she lost. But then an unlikely man enters the picture. He's the forbidden one, the one she shouldn't want but can't seem to resist. Y'all know how that goes. But Soledad's lost it all before and refuses to repeat her mistakes. She asks herself, can she trust him? Can she trust herself? From the ashes of a life burned to the ground, something bold and new can rise. So This Could Be Us is an instant New York Times and USA Today bestseller. It's been featured on the Today Show and CBS Mornings. And Kennedy Ryan is the first Black romance author to hit the New York Times adult bestseller list in almost 3 years, which is amazing. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Forever and Kennedy Ryan's heart-searing sensual This Could Be Us for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. the cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be, right? Right, girl, like we all know. So just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong got it going on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
All right, so my second pick is also continuing a series, although this is only the second book in the series, but this is Red London by Alma Katsu. And although Alma Katsu is very well known for her historical horror novels, which I have also talked about at length on this show, she has worked in national security and the intelligence for over three decades. She has so much knowledge, and she took that knowledge and turned that into the first book in the series, which was called Red Widow, and it came out maybe 2021, maybe 2020, I can't remember exactly. But holy cow, I've talked about this book before. I'm not usually one for espionage novels. They just, for whatever reason, don't grab my attention or my interest. It was so good. Even though I'm like, politically, the stuff they were talking about was like so over my head. I was like, yeah, I can keep up with this. I'm following along here. And because of all of her experience working in intelligence agencies and national security, she brings all of that knowledge and all of those details to the story. And like, I feel like a lot of times we think of an espionage novel and it's just like, you know, you think, like, maybe not as action-adventure-y as James Bond, but something that feels just, you know, like you're jumping from country to country and, you know, you're chasing down these bad guys and, like, you know, there's just all of this stuff happening. And her book felt so grounded in, like, not just like, oh, we have to, you know, the bad guys, you know, we have to collect this information, but it's on, like, how the agencies operate and how they actually function. And it felt so realistic. And then at the heart of the story, there's also this dynamic between two female characters, which was really well done. Well, she brings all of that stuff and uses it for Red London as well. And I listened to the first one on audio. I'm listening to the second one on audio as well. And they're just really fantastic listens. So with Red London, we're back with Lindsay Duncan, who is basically picking up where she left off in book one. She has been given a new assignment in London, which is supposed to be keeping tabs on her new Russian asset, who that's details from the first book. So this is definitely one you want to read the first book first. But then she is also, while she's in London, there is an attack on a very powerful Russian oligarch's property on what they call Billionaire's Row. It's very unusual, and MI6 and the CIA ask her to get close to his wife, who is about Lindsay's age. She's British, and they're like, we think that she may be helpful to us in trying to dig up information on her husband. Like, why did this attack happen? Is he involved with, you know, what types of deals is he involved with? That kind of thing. So Lindsay has to basically go undercover and create a friendship with this woman and try to gain her trust to see, you know, can we get this woman to turn on her husband and provide us with information? So again, you have this dynamic between these two female characters is at the heart of the story. And then surrounding it, you have all of this international espionage and there's all of this stuff about Russian politics. And like I said, I am not politically savvy enough to follow this stuff in real life, but she does such a good job of incorporating all of this into the narrative in a way that it doesn't feel like she's just dumping a bunch of information on you. It just gets integrated so seamlessly into the story. You're just along for the ride and listening and just being like, oh my gosh, what is going on? So yeah, I mean, I think one of the highest marks of praise I can give a book is that, okay, they took a subgenre or a topic that I'm not usually interested in and made me so interested in it that I am continuing to read the series. And considering I don't usually read series, that is also something that is also a mark of honor. But yeah, it's just, they're so good. They're so good. Easily, I would, if someone says they don't like espionage novels typically, I would happily give them one of her books and be like, read this, you will like this.
I mean, you can't get a better recommendation than that.
Yeah, and oh, it's so good. It's so good. And like you, I haven't finished listening to the audio just yet, but it is one I will happily finish up on my commute to work this week. And, you know, if I, after I come back from work, we find a couple activities that will, that that are conducive to listening to audiobooks for that too. So yeah, such a great pick. So again, that is Red London by Alma Katsu, which is the second in the Red Widow series.
And those are our four picks?
And like I said before, there are so many books that we, that yes, we could have chosen that have been published this year that we haven't gotten to yet. So there's always more.
You know, stay tuned. Next couple weeks, we'll have another few picks, and they will probably be also wonderful. So it's a reason to return.
Yes. Well, I was going to say more new picks. I mean, these books are going to be coming out this week or next week, but I know you are very excited about your pick. So I will turn the microphone over to you.
Okay. So I found this. Sorry. I found this book and was so delighted. I had to talk about it. So this is called Bored to Death by CJ Connor, and that is B-O-A-R-D, like board, like a wooden board. But in fact, this is a game board. Yes, stay tuned, friends. This is a new Quozy, a queer cozy mystery series starring Ben Rosencrantz. He is a queer 30-something English professor and closet sci-fi fan. And he is returning to his hometown of Salt Lake City, bless. And he is, you know, he is taking over his family's board game shop in this trendy Sugar House neighborhood. So he is taking care of his ill father and taking care of the shop. He's barely making enough to, you know, cover everything when this guy shows up named Clive and offers to purchase a very rare board game that Ben has. And he rejects the offer, but Clive ends up dead. And so now, of course, Clive is the number one suspect and he must figure out how to prove his innocence. And in the description, it says he'll go to jail for murder and no amount of double dice rolls will set him free. It is amazing. Like, this is the book I never knew I needed in my life. Apparently, there is also a florist named Ezra, flower shop owner, who is flirting with Ben. And I'm here for a romance. And poor Ben has just had a divorce. Like, the poor guy. So I keep thinking about the Cones of Dunshire from Parks and Rec.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I don't remember if that's the exact title, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, like, my funny thing is, like, when I married my spouse, his family is very into board games, right? Like, that's what they did. They didn't do TV or screens. They did board games. So I, unbeknownst to me, married a board game collection as well as a spouse. And so I had to, you know, you get into things that your spouse loves. And I ended up really loving board games. I grew up playing dominoes, you know, so not too much of a stretch to play board games. So that was really fun. So when I saw this, I was like, yes.
Yeah, I don't come from quite as much of a hardcore board game family, but we did enjoy and still do enjoy a good board game. Also, because you mentioned board games and marriage in the same sentence, I am legally bound to make a plug for the movie Ready or Not. It is a horror movie. It is very bloody. but it is also hysterical and one of the best horror movies I have seen in a very long time. But it is about a woman who marries into a very rich family that is that they're the great-grandfather created like a board game dynasty. And at midnight, after someone in the family gets married, they all have to, the non-family person who is married in has to draw a card. That's the game they play. And if you draw the hide or seek card, that means that that everyone is trying to sacrifice the other person as part of the game.
I think I might go watch that after this because I've been on a horror movie kick.
Oh my gosh. Like, I can, like, if you like horror and are not, are okay with a pretty good amount of blood and gore, but done in a really fantastic way, you will not find a more gleefully delightful horror movie than Ready or Not. Anyway, okay, I am off that kick now. I have done my legal duty. Okay, so my pick is not board game related. My pick is I'm Not Done With You Yet by Jesse Q. Sutanto. And Jesse Q. Sutanto is most well-known right now for her Dial A for Aunties series. I know everyone says Aunties, but I'm from the Midwest. I have to say Aunties. But this is a psychological suspense novel, which I'm really excited about. So Jane is the main character. Jane is unhappy. She's a struggling writer. She feels trapped in her marriage. She's basically just scraping by to pay for a house and a life that she never really wanted. There's only been one person that's ever really cared about Jane, and that was her best friend, Talia. They studied creative writing at Oxford almost a decade ago, and this program went for like a year, and she was just like, this was the best time of her life, but there was one night that ruined everything, a blood-soaked night. Oh, hey, there is a tie-in for what I was just talking about. And this should have, you know, kept the two of them together as friends forever, but instead made Jane lose Talia completely. Talia disappeared. Jane has been unable to find her until now, because Talia has just written a New York Times bestseller called A Most Pleasant Death. And when Jane discovers a post that Talia makes on her website about, hey, I'm going to be at this book convention in New York City, she's like, can't wait to see you there. Jane is like, oh yes, I will be there. And she will go to New York City, credit card bill be damned, and this time she will do things right. Jane won't lose Talia again. Oh, it sounds so great. I love an obsessive best friend story. It feels like this has the potential to be just slightly over the top. And I think that's kind of what I'm here for right now. Just a little bit extra. I feel like being a little bit extra here.
Don't we all sometimes?
We do. I think we just need to embrace it.
I think so. I agree.
Yeah. So that is I'm Not Done With You Yet by Jesse Q. Sutanto.
Well, friends, that is our show. Can you believe we made it?
We made it.
I'm so excited. So thanks so much to everyone for listening. And of course, many thanks to our wonderful sound editor, Jen Zink, who always makes us sound great. For the show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. For more book recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. Or you can just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. If you want to send us feedback or an email with show suggestions, you can email us at redordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can find me, Kendra, on Twitter and Instagram at KD, as in Dylan Winchester. And you can find Katie on Twitter at KT, as in, I don't know, Tin Man? We should come up with something for that.
I mean, it's basically Katie just shortened to two letters.
Well, we have KD Winchester and KT _ library lady. To avoid all the confusion, they are linked in the show notes. And we will talk to you all next time.
Bye.